Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome once again to the Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek and I invite you to pull up a chair, relax. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes together. Today's topic is all about, this is one of my favorite topics, God's mercy. God is merciful to us. You know, we hear that message so many times that often we can let it go in one ear and out the other. It falls into the God is love category. That is one of the most profound messages and misunderstood by so many people too, I might add. But along with God's mercy, we sometimes fail to appreciate just how important these messages are. Well, we're going to talk about it this week as we look at the Sunday Mass readings for the 24th week in Ordinary Time. These readings, especially the Gospel, they're a bit longer today, so I'm going to make sure I don't waste time. I want to get right to it. But before we get on with the show, we're going to pray, which is my favorite part of this program. I want to thank my friends at CatholicPhilly.com. Now, that is the official voice for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia for now carrying the Gary Zimek Show. It's such an honor growing up in Philadelphia. It's so cool that my hometown Archdiocese is now carrying the program. This adds to the list of Catholic stations and podcast services that are now carrying the show. All glory to God. I am so excited to be able to spread the news, the good news, to an even larger number of people. So if you hear of anyone who doesn't know about this show, please let them know about it, especially if you're in contact with somebody who might run a Catholic radio station who wants to maybe broadcast the program. Let me know. Send them over to my website, followingthetruth.com, which, by the way, if you're not familiar with my work and maybe you want to invite me to speak at your parish, or you might want to check out some of my books or subscribe to my daily blog, which is free of charge, by the way, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Head on over, and that's also the best way to get in touch with me. So if you want to shoot me an email, let me know what you think about the show. Let me know that you need some extra prayers. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Okay, we have that down? Very good. All right, let's pray. Let's do this. And as I always like to tell you at the start of the program, we don't want to just push this off to the side and say, oh yeah, we're praying, and then just empty, you know, heap on a bunch of empty phrases. This is legitimate conversation with our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We're involved in a discussion with the Trinity right now. Isn't that amazing? I just think it's so important to not forget about that. So let's begin, as we always do, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, wow, thank you for this great chance, this great opportunity to address you, the creator of the universe. Father, you not only created us out of nothing, you created the entire universe out of nothing. And just as you conversed with Abraham, with Noah, with Moses, and with people throughout the centuries, we have that opportunity to engage in a dialogue with you. It's unbelievable, Father. That blows me away when I think about it. So the first thing I want to say to you, all-powerful Father, all-loving God, giver of all good things, is I want to say thank you. Thank you for being here so that I can talk to you. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us. Thank you for the gift of a new day. Thank you for allowing us to be alive. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I ask the Holy Spirit right now to come alive inside of me and help me to pray. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. So I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, give me the words as I pray now to my Father in heaven. Father, I ask you to guide my words for the next 30 minutes so that the message that I have is not my message, but your message. As we read through your inspired words in sacred scripture, Father, help me and guide me so that I can get out of your way so your message can be proclaimed on this program. Father, help us with all of our own needs. You know our needs better than we do. Help us with whatever we need. And above all, continue through the Holy Spirit to transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that one day we will be able to live with you in heaven. Father, give me the words for the program. Send your Holy Spirit to not only give me the words, but to open our minds up, all of our minds and our hearts, so that we can not only hear your message, but respond to it. Father, I ask this in the most powerful, holy, and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. In case you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. My name is Gary Zimek. If you want to find out more about the work that I do, head on over to followingthetruth.com. That's my website. And if you want to contact me, that's the best place to do it. All right, I told you at the start of the show we're going to be talking about mercy. And the readings today that we'll look at are from the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The gospel is a familiar one. It's the prodigal son. You know, we've all heard this parable of the prodigal son before. The message is so powerful. I'm going to use the long form of the gospel because I don't want to miss anything on the program today. But as we listen to it, I just want to say we prayed for the Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts. Each one of us could take a little something different out of this gospel. And the church is fine with that. I mean, as long as we're not interpreting the gospel or any of these readings in a way that goes against church teaching, the Catholic Church says absolutely. There are different, unique, subtle messages in the readings that are going to be different for me and for you. We're going to hear different things. But the overall message this week is one of mercy, as I do each week on the program. I start with the gospel because everything for the weekly readings in Ordinary Time, it's centered around the gospel. So we're going to start with the gospel first. Today we read from Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or, what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me your share of your estate.' that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" I'll tell you, this gospel is jam-packed with so many pieces of information. Where do I go with this? Let's try to look at a couple of angles for this gospel. And again, I read the long form because I didn't want to miss anything. Didn't want you to miss anything. It starts out with tax collectors and sinners drawing near to listen to Jesus. Now, these people, they are the outcasts. They are the people who were shunned by everyone else. And, you know, as you read this gospel, different people will look at it in different ways. You might see yourself as a tax collector or a sinner. You just can't be good enough. And those goody-two-shoes people, they just won't give you the time of day. On the other hand, you might be somebody who is leading a good and holy life. You might feel that you're not one of the tax collectors and sinners. You go to church, you say your prayers, you do good to others. We could look at this in many different ways from many different angles. But let's try to set it up, and I'll give you a couple of my different thoughts about this. So we want to picture this. Tax collectors, sinners, they are drawing near to listen to Jesus. In other words, they care. They care what he has to say. Some of us, and you know, here's a belief that I have. And whenever I preach about the readings, I always like to point this out because I feel this is so true. If ever we read, open our Bible, we look at the gospel, look at the Old Testament, and we only hear a message incriminating the rest of the world. In other words, this doesn't apply to me. This only applies to those sinners, those people who do something wrong. If we're hearing the readings like that, we are barking up the wrong tree. We're missing the point. Every time you open up the Bible and you let the Lord speak to you, he should be addressing you. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have something to say for people who could be doing some things that are seriously wrong. But we want to make sure that he's talking to us, because every one of us are sinners. Let's not forget that. That's really important that we remember that, and we want to let the Lord speak to us too. So those of us who love Scripture, maybe who go to daily Mass, maybe we certainly go to Sunday Mass, we go to confession, we really love our Catholic faith and we love the Lord, sometimes we take what we're hearing in the Bible for granted, right? You know it's true. We do. Let's be careful, because sometimes we hear God loves you. We hear God is merciful, and we say, I know, but what's next? Mother Angelica used to call these people like us, what's nexters. Don't become a what's nexter. This is important stuff. There are people who really, really want to hear what Jesus has to say. Sometimes we can be a little nonchalant because we've heard it before. So let's try not to do that. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. So the tax collectors and sinners, they're listening to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain. Here they go, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. In other words, I don't really care what he has to say because he's not talking to me. You see how that's the wrong attitude? He's talking to you and he's talking to me right now. We want to make sure that we are open. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, right? That's what Eli told Samuel to say. That's the way we should approach this when we hear the gospel, when we hear the Old Testament proclaimed at church, or when we're reading it at home. Lord, you've got something to say to me. I want to hear it. Holy Spirit, please help me. So then Jesus, recognizing that the Pharisees and the scribes are a little too self-righteous, he directs three parables to them, right? So there's three parables that the Lord talks about. The first one is about the man who has 100 sheep, loses one of them, leaves the other 99 to seek out that one lost sheep. Now, again, we could be looking at this as not applying to us, maybe applying to a family member, and that's good. Let's try to approach it from both different points of view. Maybe you have a child who's left the faith. That child is incredibly important to the Lord. He is going to not let up. He's going to continually pursue that person, that individual who left the faith, who doesn't believe anymore, who maybe doesn't care about God. Maybe they didn't even leave. Maybe they've never been able to experience Jesus at all. And in the course of my work, talking about overcoming anxiety and going out to parishes and speaking, I hear that a lot. What am I going to do? I'm so worried about my child. They don't go to church anymore. The Lord loves your child more than you do. So the deal is, you pray, you do what you can, you be a good example, but trust that the Lord is actively pursuing each of his lost sheep. I was a lost sheep for many years, even though I was sitting in the pew, but the Lord never gave up on me. It wasn't until I opened my mind and heart to him, though, that I really heard what he had to say. So the Lord is going to be pursuing his lost sheep and will rejoice when he finds one of them. The second parable, Jesus said, a woman having 10 coins and losing one would light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it. In the same way, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The angels are going to be rejoicing, as is the Lord, because of one sinner who repents. Maybe you're that sinner. You know, we don't have to be living a life of debauchery to be a repentant sinner. Maybe we're excessively worrying, not trusting the Lord. Maybe we're not saying our prayers every day. We're not having an open line of communication with the Lord. Well, let's repent. Let's repent. We can repent. We need to repent every day. It's not just the big stuff. It's the little stuff that causes so much damage in our relationship with the Lord. So just know that if you repent, if you say, you know what, today I'm not going to talk badly about people behind their back. Lord, grant me the grace to do this. I really want to do this. There's going to be rejoicing because you are repenting. So don't necessarily think that that sinner who is repenting is the other guy. It's us too. And finally, the parable of the prodigal son. This is an unbelievable example of the Lord's mercy. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. You know what? At this point, he is wishing that his father was dead, because he wants the inheritance, and he's demanding the father. Father, give me what I want. And you know what? The father gave it to him. And what happened then? The younger son collected his belongings, set off to a distant country, and squandered the inheritance on a life of dissipation. In other words, he blew the money to have a good time. He was looking for the quick fix, the instant gratification. And eventually, like so many of us, he realized that these things aren't going to bring you happiness. You know, we get so attached to the things of the world to different degrees. But I know that I've struggled with this throughout my life. Materialism, looking for possessions, that's going to make me feel good. I want money. I want to, in my younger days, I spent wasted a lot of time at the bar trying to drink away my problems. But all it did for me was temporarily make me forget about them, and I'd feel twice as bad the next day. So this son is looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And he ends up, after a famine strikes the country, he hires himself out to one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. Now, can you imagine a Jewish man tending swine, pigs? That is not the place to be. That's a horrible way to earn a living for them. So that's what he's doing. That's how desperate he is. Finally, he realizes that his father's hired workers are eating better than he is. And he's going to go back to his father and admit that he sinned against heaven and against his father, and he no longer deserves to be called his son. He wants to be treated as a servant. So what happens? Gets up, goes back to his father. Now listen to this part, because this is so cool. While he was still a long way off, he couldn't even hear his father. He was still a long way off. His father ran to his son. He caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. And he ran to him. What does that tell you? Don't miss this point. You know what that tells you? The father was looking for his son. He was waiting for him. He was watching out for him. He never gave up on him. That's the way our Heavenly Father feels about us. That's how much he loves us. And when the father sees the son coming back, what did he do? He ran to him. Now remember, the younger son was going to apologize and admit his wrongdoing. He didn't even have to do that. And the father, his father who loves him so much, embraces him, filled with compassion. And then the son says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be your son. Father doesn't even acknowledge that. He doesn't say, you're right, you don't deserve to be my son. What does he call? He calls for a feast to be celebrated. You know, that is just how much mercy God is filled with. And he wants to embrace you and welcome you back in the same way. And again, remember, it doesn't have to be some horrific sin that you've committed. Every day, we talk about people behind their back. We say things that we shouldn't say. We don't do nice things for other people. We worry excessively. And yeah, worry can be a sin. It's not always a sin, but it can be. If you legitimately don't trust the Lord, or you don't pray for the grace to trust Him, or maybe you don't pray at all, or maybe you're always watching TV or going on the internet and never spend any time reading the Bible or in prayer with the Lord. I mean, there's all kinds of things you could do that aren't necessarily grave sins, but they're offenses against the Lord. Well, it's time for us to repent and accept the Lord's mercy. He doesn't want us to live a life of misery. When we worry, that's what we do. We're that son who ran away and who is looking for happiness but can't find it. We got a loving father that wants to welcome us back into the fold. No questions asked. Now, of course, we have the other son at this point who gets jealous. Well, why didn't you ever treat me this way? And the father emphasizes the importance of the lost sinner returning. And he says to the son, son, you've always had everything that was mine. You've always been welcome here. You've always been able to experience my love. But today is special because your brother is back and he has repented. Now, we want to make sure we're not that other son, because that's easy to do sometimes. Well, how come God takes this sinner back? How about me? I've always been a good person. You know, we want to be careful about that. And that's why I said at the beginning, we can look at this parable and see ourselves as so many of the different characters. We're each going to look at it in a different way. But the overall message is God is merciful and will always take us back. Let's make that move to him today. The first reading is from the book of Exodus. It backs up this image of mercy. The Lord said to Moses, it's Exodus chapter 32, "Go down at once to your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." If we had more time, we can go into a lot more details, but the point of this story is God is merciful if we turn to him, if we repent, if we ask him to forgive us. Let's do that today. How can we do that? Well, let's look at the responsorial psalm. Psalm 51, one of the great psalms written by King David. Now, this one was written after he had sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba and having her husband Uriah killed in battle. This is what David said. "I will rise and go to my father. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a contrite and humbled spirit, O God, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. Lord, I'm sorry I sinned against you. Please forgive me." I think we need to say this every day to one extent or another. The second reading, and we are just about out of time. I want you to take note of the second reading when St. Paul says in his first letter to Timothy, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief." Paul was acknowledging how merciful the Lord was. And that's today's message, all about mercy. Turn to him, say, "Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. Please forgive me." All right, are we good? Again, thank you so much for listening to the program. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you want to find out more about my work. Maybe invite me to speak at your parish, sign up for my daily email newsletter, or maybe make a donation to my ministry. I am so grateful for you. You're such a blessing. I pray for you each day until we meet again. This is Gary Zimek. What am I reminding you of? That whatever you do, wherever you go, be strong and courageous because the Lord is with you and he's merciful. Ask him to forgive you today. God bless you. See you next time.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.